In Luke chapter 22 tonight, what I'm doing is addressing what I'm doing. What I'm doing is addressing. I got them two together, didn't I? But anyway, what I'd like to do tonight is address this third time where Jesus in his ministry gives thanks. And I've never looked at this before in my life. I think Sunday morning we were talking about the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 4,000 takes place in two of the Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000 takes place in every one of the Gospels. And in every one of those, the Word of God says one of two things. Either that Jesus gave thanks, or he looked up to heaven and blessed it. And then on Sunday night, we were looking at the text where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And Jesus, just before he called Lazarus' name, he said, "I thank thee, Father, that thou hearest me always." And I need to say something tonight before I even read the text. I meant to say it Sunday night, and I forgot it. And you'll get old one of these days and understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, though I'm only dealing with three, and I know of one other, and that's where Jesus said, "I thank thee that this was not, it was hidden from the wise and the prudent, but it was revealed unto babes." And I'm not dealing with that text, but that's another text that I know of. But though we've only dealt with three of the texts, that's the way the Lord has led my heart, we're going to deal with the third one tonight. That doesn't mean that's the only time, Brother Steve, that Jesus gave thanks. Many times he went apart into a mountain to pray. And the Bible said, Brother Ralph, in the end of the book of John, and many other things did Jesus, the which I suppose, if all of them were written, the whole world couldn't contain the books. So I didn't want to leave us with the idea that this is the only the only times that Jesus bowed and gave thanks. Because, I mean, I could just see Jesus in the mountain talking to the Father and thanking him for what he did that day. And by faith, thanking him for what he's going to do tomorrow, because Jesus is God, amen. And so I just wanted to give you that. Let's look here tonight. The Bible said in verse number 12, "He shall show you a large upper room furnished." I didn't realize this. They're looking for, let me just back up. Look at verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.' They say unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water.'" Until I studied, I didn't really realize it. I knew it was a custom in Israel for the woman to bear the pitcher of water. So it was almost like Jesus was giving them something to look for that was going to be out of the norm. It was going to be out of the usual. I never caught that before. I'm just being honest with you. And so there's going to be a man that's going to be bearing a pitcher of water. He said, "Follow him into the house where he entereth. And he shall say unto them, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them." Isn't that always true? You're always going to find just like he says. Amen. It'll always be just exactly like he says. "And found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." Look at these three words: "Before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup," here it is, "and he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the text. Lord, the text is way bigger than we are. But God, tonight I pray you would help us to glean from the text that we've read tonight. God, I pray tonight that it would make our thanksgiving a more spiritual one. Lord, that it would cause worship to well up in our hearts. God, tonight that you would just minister to us through the Word of God and through this example of Jesus turning towards heaven once again and giving thanks. God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. We pray, dear Father, tonight that someone throughout this Thanksgiving season will discover the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A couple of things that I picked up on, and I'm going to give you these. I don't have them in my notes. They're just in my mind. I really don't have much in my notes at all, but I have a heart that's full tonight. One thing is, when there's a Passover, there's supposed to be a lamb. But here you find Jesus. He's got the cup with the wine. He's got the, by the way, beloved, you'll never make this preacher believe that Jesus is involved in getting people drunk, amen? Or there's a wine that's fermented in the Bible. And the Bible said don't even look on it when it moveth itself aright. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But Jesus, the fruit of the vine here, and this wine, you know, you take the marriage of the Cana of Galilee where, you know, they talked about after everybody had well drunk, can't you just see Jesus pouring some more alcohol into them? Well, that's nonsense. Amen. They saved the best for last. But he takes the cup and he takes the bread. But I think it's interesting tonight that there's not a Passover lamb. Because, beloved, it's the Lamb that's serving tonight. Amen. It's the Lamb that's given thanks tonight. It's the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And tonight, I think that is something that is worth taking note of tonight. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. We know that Judas is present, along with all the other apostles. But I want you to notice just four things tonight, I believe. One, two, three, four. I wrote four words in the margin of my Bible. I want you to notice four things tonight. Number one, the Bible said, with desire, if I desire to eat the Passover with you, those three words, before I suffer. Before Jesus suffers tonight, he's going to give thanks. And beloved, listen, I don't know about you tonight, but I find that a difficult place to give thanks in suffering or before the suffering. Most of us would like to wait till the suffering is over and then thank God that the suffering is over. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible talks about him being broad as a lamb to the slaughter. The Bible talks about, beloved, the suffering of the Son of God in Isaiah chapter number 53. But he was not bruised for his own iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So I think it's important tonight to understand that though there were 12 men sitting around that didn't understand the suffering, there was one that understood that he was headed for the cross. There was one that understood, beloved, that in order for this Passover to be complete, that Jesus was going to have to die. And I believe that's why Mary, we found in the text, anointed the feet of Jesus against the day of his burying. She was one that understood that he was not always going to be in an earthly ministry, that he was not headed for a throne to be a king, but he was headed for a cross to be a Savior, to be the Savior of the world. And so I see the suffering. And I don't know about you tonight, but I think as we go through the Thanksgiving season tonight, Jesus in this text is thanking God, knowing that he's looking at the suffering. Listen tonight, none of us know what we're going to go through before we get out of here. Amen. But I know this, we're not going through it alone. Amen. He said he would go with us all the way. I thank God, not only, beloved, do I have a Savior, but I have a family, I have friends, and I'm not worried about going through anything alone. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord for that. Jesus, Brother Ralph, the choir sings, "All Alone." I love that song, brother. He was all alone. Amen. Even to the point that his Father had to turn his back and the lights went out on the earth. But you and I, he was alone for time, so that you and I would never have to be alone for time or eternity. Amen. The suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing he said, "I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup and he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." I believe the wine that those men tasted that day that they divided among themselves, it was a type. It was a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the cup that Jesus was fixing to drink of was a bitter cup. Amen. And the Word of God talks about the suffering. But not only does it picture the suffering in the text, it pictures the sacrifice. I want you to go with me to Exodus, please, chapter number 12. This is where the Passover was instituted in the Bible. And there was a reason for the Passover. It was a celebration of that time when God brought his people out of Egypt. It was a time when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, and yet that death angel passed over. I got to thinking about this afternoon. Listen, I thank God. Listen, you say, "Pastor, you're going to die." Listen to me carefully. "It's appointed unto men," the Word of God said, "once to die, and after this the judgment." But the Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" So yes, there's a part of, "Pastor, this old body that's going to die." And I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that. I'm glad this old body's not going to heaven. Amen. I'm glad the battles that I fight in this flesh, I'll never fight again when I leave this world. I'm glad this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." But let me tell you this tonight. According to the Word of God, beloved, Jesus was giving them in type something that was not going to have to be done year after year after year. You were not going to have to go out there and find the lamb and kill the lamb and, beloved, shed, cut the lamb's throat and catch that blood in a basin and take the hyssop and apply it to the doorpost and the lintel. That's no longer going to be, because thank God this lamb died once for all. Amen. And we ought to be thankful for that tonight, that we don't have to bring a bunch of blood of bulls and goats and build an offer, an altar, and offer an offering of sacrifice on that altar, because thank God once for all he died on Mount Calvary. Watch what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 12. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the children of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month shall ye take every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. By the way, I just picked up on something. What God's saying right here, I don't want it wasted. That's exactly why he took up the fragments when he fed the 5,000. And I just believe God might have sent that boy home, amen, with all 12 baskets and said, there's enough to do you a week or two, amen. Watch what the Word of God said. According to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Aren't you glad tonight he's without blemish and without spot? A male of the first year, he shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs, and with the pertness thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning shall you burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it, that with your loins girded. In other words, God said, when you're celebrating the Passover, honey, get ready to head out. Glory to God. I believe that Thanksgiving ought to be a special time for God's people, because we're getting ready to head out. Amen. We're leaving this whole world behind. You say, Pastor, I want to stay. Well, go ahead. I want to go when he comes. Say amen and be with him. I tell you, it's going to be a lot better over yonder. He said, here your feet shod, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Watch this. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Here's what I want to get to tonight, beloved. Over there in the book of Luke, Jesus is giving thanks. He's talking about the suffering, number one. But number two, he's talking about the sacrifice. He's talking about his own body. He's talking about his own blood. The Word of God said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus was going to shed his blood. Some of the songwriters, they use a word that I don't really care nothing much about. They'll say he spilled his blood. But beloved, I believe when you spill something, it's an accident. What, he shed his blood. I believe it was on purpose. Say amen. Beloved, listen, he knew that for this reason, the Bible said, for this cause came I into the world. He knew when he came into the world in that little manger, he was headed for a cross. He knew that. He was going to give his life a ransom for all. Beloved, the sacrifice. I wondered about this. I want you to think about being a mother in Israel at that time. I want you to think about, beloved, listen, Moses is telling you that there's the death angel. But God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt. Amen. And the firstborn is going to die. I want you to think about the land of Egypt that night. I believe those little babies, some of them, beloved, weren't old enough to know much. Maybe they were babies in a little crib-like thing. But I believe as they grow up, I believe Mama told them, honey, listen, what Daddy had to do was go out yonder and get that lamb. He had to put that lamb up. He had to cut that lamb's throat. And because Daddy obeyed God and done what God said, God's painting us a picture, amen, that judgment could pass over us. And we're having Thanksgiving, and we ought to be thanking God that judgment has passed over us. It's not going to fall on us. Every one of us in this room deserve the judgment hand of God on us. But thank God, because the blood has been applied, that judgment will never fall on us tonight. That's a blessing to me, amen. That's enough to thank God for all eternity. No wonder that song we sing over there is going to be, worthy as the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power, amen. We see the suffering. We see the sacrifice. But what else do we see? We see salvation. Beloved, listen. That's the only way they could be delivered, is to have that blood applied. That if that blood was in, if the lamb was spotless, the lamb was perfect, it was still in the backyard, the firstborn would have died. If they would have cut the lamb's throat and that blood would have still been in the basin, that firstborn would have died. If they would have dipped the hyssop in the basin, and beloved, it was still on the hyssop, that firstborn would have died. That blood had to be applied. All those people that come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, they're around the blood. They're around the songs. They're around the book. But that blood has never been applied in their life. And when it's applied, beloved, there's forgiveness. There's salvation by the grace of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God tonight for His suffering. I thank God tonight for His sacrifice. And I thank God tonight for His salvation. It's full and it's free. There's one more thing I want to show you tonight and I'm done. Look with me if you will, please. Turn over to verse number 27. Let me just read a few verses here. Let me just make a comment or two real quickly. You've got Judas. He's concerned about how he's going to betray him. You've got the other disciples concerned about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus looking at Calvary. You say, Pastor, why did you say that? Because I believe there's a picture even in the church. There's those that's concerned about this or concerned about that. And they're not concerned about the main thing. And the main thing is the cross. The main thing, beloved, listen, is that people, somewhere or another, make their way to Calvary and understand that their only hope of heaven is hanging there on an old rugged cross. But listen tonight, the Bible comes down. I'll show you this and we'll finish up here tonight. Let me, I turn the page back. Look at verse 27. The Bible said here, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Jesus said, but I am among you. Here they are arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. Watch this now. If you take your Bible and you do the comparison from book to book, I believe it's John chapter 13 where you're going to come into this parallel passage. And after the supper was ended, the Bible said, Jesus rose from supper and he girded himself. You remember that? And he got him a basin. And what did he do? Anybody know what he did? He washed the feet of the disciples. I'm just saying this tonight, and I mean it from the depths of my heart. I'm very, very concerned about folk that say they're saved and never find a place to serve. I believe Jesus laid it out right here, brother. When we get under the blood, we get our sins forgiven. We're not getting up from there, Brother Wayne, wondering who's going to be the greatest. But just give me some spot in the kingdom. Just give me some place to serve my Lord and my Master, because He's worthy tonight. Amen. Let me go over there. Turn over to John chapter 13 just a minute. There's the text. I can't even remember exactly where it's at, but I think I'll find it when I get there. John chapter 13. It's a beautiful, beautiful text. By the way, there are some that, I'm just going to throw this out there tonight. You can get mad at me if you want to, but there are some that will not have communion without a foot washing. But foot washing in the Bible was never one of the ordinances. The ordinances in the Scripture are baptism. Now listen to me. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. But listen to me carefully. I'm not against foot washing. I've never participated in it, but I wouldn't be against that. But let me give you something real quickly. Brother Steve, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they didn't go home and clean them up real good before they came to the service. In other words, it was something that was needed. And I think we're hypocrites if we want to wash one another's feet and we just won't do for one another what's needed. If somebody needs a meal, if somebody needs a $20 bill, if somebody needs some clothes. My son called me the other day. Their church did a ministry of coats, Brother Steve, and feeding people just a free meal. They turned in just a little while, Free Meal Baptist. Amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But anyway, they were giving out a free meal. And this lady came in with four children. Jeremy said they could come home crying. Honey, we've been blessed. I said, we've been blessed. Miss Eve got some coats together and sent them over there. I told Jeremy, I said, son, somebody needs to go to her house. I said, I'm not at all against the food and the coats, but somebody just needs to make sure she and them youngins know there's a home in heaven waiting on them. They'll just come through the cross. And he assured me that would be taken care of. But tonight, when you look into John chapter 13, the Bible said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. I want you to see tonight, Jesus said, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. He poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I doest thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. See, it wasn't needful. That's where Jesus was at, down there where it was needful. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he was set down again. And he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here's the words that I was looking for, the servant. You see it right there. Our Lord and our Savior is headed to a cross. What's he doing on the way? Finding a place to serve. I don't know about you. That touches my heart. The Word of God said, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you shall believe that I am he. It's hard to believe, isn't it? After all that you see in the Gospels, that these men still need to be convinced that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verily, when he had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and he testified and said, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. I don't know about you tonight, but as I look at Luke 22, and I see this example in Scripture, and what's surrounding this example, of our Savior taking time to give thanks for the cup, to give thanks for the bread, telling us the cup. By the way, something else that just came back to my heart and my mind, I never thought about. Never in the Scripture does God tell us to do anything to remember His birth. Never in the Scripture does God tell us to do anything to remember His life, His holy life. But God said, this do in remembrance of me. It's thanksgiving. It's shame on us if we don't remember the one who died. Shame on us if we don't try to find us a place somewhere, regardless of how lowly it might be, to serve. There's ladies lined up over there tonight behind the counter serving a bunch of youngins. Ain't nobody in Bloomingdale going to know about that. Their names won't be in the paper. Some of them cooked today and brought food in. Some of them made desserts and brought it in. Hey, their name will never be mentioned down here. Shoot, pastor don't even know who all did what. But can I tell you this? Brother Larry, our Father knows.
Amen.
He knows everyone that just put forth a little effort to be a blessing to a bunch of youngins tonight. Amen. He knows everyone. I mean, he's glad you come tonight.